Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to Soul Chat. I am your host, Ebony Chitora, also known as Ebony the Goddess. You have now entered the realm of a wisdom-centered podcast, offering soulful discussions about life's challenges and tips towards overcoming them with grace. Here, we talk about all things soul care, self-love, and let's not forget healing into wholeness. So what can you expect in my world? Soul healing conversations, tips for improving your mental health and wellness, and how to begin believing in yourself like never before. So if you, like me, are into creating a strong inner game, pull up a seat, grab your notebook, pen, water, juice, or wine, and be prepared for perspective-shifting conversations. After all, you're so worthy of living a life that you love. So let's get into it.
Welcome everyone to another amazing episode of Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Chitora. And y'all always know, I'm always like, I have such a special guest. And I really do today. This queen, I've known her for so very long on many different levels. And I'm just so excited to have her here today, not only for myself, but for all the other parents out there, because we need her. And I'm trying to let her know that we need her. So welcome to the podcast, Yasmin Van. I'm going to intro you and give your bio, but my first question, first and foremost, always is, who are you? So after I read your luxurious, fabulous bio, we're going to just dive right into it because we have a great conversation for you all today. Without further ado, the queen, the goddess. So Yasmin Van is a mom of two young men with special abilities. She knows that her purpose is to change the narrative around what it means to be a parent, as well as ways in which we can look at the special needs community. She's compassionate and passionate about helping moms to see their experience from a different perspective, and she teaches them how to reconnect to their inner divinity. She is here to support heart-centered moms in rediscovering who they are outside of caring for their children. She has 24 years of personal and professional experience living with and working within the special needs community. She has a master's in social work and an LMSW license in New York State. It is her intention to bridge the gap by offering services to often overlooked parents in the mission of serving special ability children. Coming from her own experiences as well as witnessing areas for growth, she's extremely passionate about creating lasting change and impact amongst parents and caretakers. Woo!
Again, who is that? Who is that? Is that me you're talking
yes,
about?
It is.
Yes, oh my gosh. I have to look around.
Welcome to the podcast. And I think for you, you know, that bio, your bio is because you literally live the life that you teach. Mm-hmm. You know, and not many people have that almost 24-hour connection to, you know, what they do during the day and what they are, you know, experiencing at home. So in short, I always ask anyways, because I think bios are just fluffy things of being like, look at what I did, you know, shiny objects. At the end of the day, who are you in your own words? Who are you? Who is Yasmin Van?
So I think I'm still discovering who I am. And outside of just like, I'm a spirit, right, first and foremost, and all of the things that I do are just roles that I play, but I also think that I am discovering just more of the role that I'm here to play on this earth. And so, you know, I am a self-discoverer. That's who I am.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And that's honest. You know what I'm saying? I think that's very honest, you know, because the fact is we're always evolving. However, how I see you, okay, is mm-hmm. definitely a resource that, like, you're always looking at all angles when it comes to parenting. mm-hmm. and the questions you ask and the things that you bring up aren't really on the radar in the community. And I think it's just because you also have, you literally have that experience where you have to figure out what does my kid need? Because the communication that typically would be there, it's just different, right?
Right.
So first and foremost, you know, maybe you have not dubbed yourself this yet, but you are definitely a parenting expert to me as far as like your ability to connect with kids, communicate with them, relate with them, make them feel safe and secure, and even elevating them. Like, you're really good at that. And that's a skill set. Cause I tell you all the time, this is what I say to her, y'all. I'm like, do you hear me giving parenting advice? Like, please take note. I do not show up giving parenting advice. I show little things behind the scenes, but that's not my expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I go to YouTube and Google to figure out some things sometimes. You know what I'm saying about parenting?
Yeah.
Two people that I watch quite often, you know? So you're definitely that person. I reached out to you the other day and I'm like, how do I handle this? Like, let me call the queen, okay? Because I need other ears. I need other opinions that aren't going to give me the same old, you know, choose violence or, you know, really just blaming it on the kids. So if we can just like dive into that and just your field of being able to like communicate with kids, and not only communicating with kids, but re-teaching parents, how do we look at the experience of parenting that gives us the ability to learn? Because I do believe, we've talked about this many times. We have so many conversations that could be podcast episodes, but you know, parenting and like what it really is giving to us as parents, and not
right.
that perspective of like, oh, I'm the leader, you're the follower, I'm big, you're small, you know, type of thing. So
right.
how do we change right. our perspective so we can really like honor them and appreciate you? Because you be sharing some stuff, you made me cry, okay? You made me cry. I was like, oh, I need that parenting advice. I'm like, yes, yeah, I'm serving these beautiful little souls. That's a great perspective. Let's go.
So like, first of all, I think this is like a beautiful question. I think the first thing is funny. So in Indigenous teachings, like we talk about elders, like who our elders are and who our teachers are a lot. And I have said for a very long time that my children have been my greatest teachers. And so in some respects, they often act as elders for me, because being a parent has made me look more at myself and how I engage with them and how I engage with the world, I think more so than any other relationship that I've had. And some of the things that I have come to discover just about being a parent in and of itself is that, like, our kids are going to teach us exactly what we need to be working on when we talk about elevating our soul. Right. So they're going to activate. I don't want to use the word trigger, but they will activate in us the things that we need to work on. And so I've spent the majority of this parent journey. I've been parenting for 25 years. But I've spent the majority of this. I went into being a parent basically with this idea of, I want to be the best parent to this child, right?
Right.
Whoever that child is, because not all children need the same thing. So I can't show up and be a parent like a one size fits all parent, because my children are not the same. They don't need the same things. And I think that we've kind of like been conditioned to this concept of, oh, I love my children equally, right?
Right.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Like, that's false. Like, it's not possible to love your children equally. And I think that people use the term equally meaning the same. And it's just not true, right? Like, you may not, and I think what I'm about to say is probably not true either, but you may not favor one child over another, but I also think that that's not true either. Like, I think we do favor certain children. The ones that we kind of like jive with and mesh with are the ones that are like easily malleable. Yeah. Right.
I mean, they have their own personalities too, you know, so just as people,
yes,
you know, they do.
Yes.
You love them as your kids, but you know, certain of our children do stuff that we don't necessarily agree with. But even with that, like you said, if we are softening our hearts enough, you know, because to me, you know, in that favor, I never want to feel that though, because I have felt that at times where I'm like, yo, I legit like, you know, and I'm like, you know, you got to check yourself, right? Because honesty is how we heal. So if I soften my heart and go back to what you just said, like I'm able to see what that child is actually teaching me in right. that exchange that I'm having with them. Do I need to learn how to communicate better? Do I need to figure out their communication style? Is the way I communicate with them not effective? Right? Mm-hmm. Not them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the way I communicate with them is not effective. So there's something that they're teaching me that I need to learn. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also too, like, first of all, parenting advice, or tips or whatever as a whole, I think has kind of like been dictated by one view, right? And so like this middle class values kind of view, and doesn't really take culture, religious beliefs, unless again, it falls within, you know, like middle class Christian values, it doesn't take other things into consideration. And so we've kind of like been conditioned into the way that we raise our kids on a multitude of levels. And especially raising individuals that have special abilities, I can't raise my kids like that. They don't function in the world in that way. And so I spent, I would say, the majority of my oldest son's life trying to mold him into this being that was going to fit into society. And one day it was just like, you have to stop, because the world needs to understand them, not the other way around. And so I can't say I stopped altogether, because I'm, you know, like things, you know, you kind of like fall into old patterns. Yeah. However, it made me take more than one step back, right? So like, I might pause, but like, no, I'm really going to take several steps back and examine what's happening in this moment. And like, what do I need to do in order for this being to be comfortable outside in the world? And what would I have to say to another person who's observing our interactions and like questioning, like, well, why is your kid doing that? Right? Like, well, my kid is doing that because they're overstimulated right now in this environment, and they need a way to release that. You know, I had to stop feeling the shame of having kids with special abilities and start really accepting this is where they are, and the world needs to get on board and catch up, not the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, and truthfully, ooh, that just gave me chills. And truthfully, that's what the issue is. I mean, first and foremost, bringing up the cultural issues, right? And the ways that we look at parenting in general, mm-hmm. as well as in the special ability community overall. I mean, you can go back, you know, 50, 60 years, and the treatment was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just 50, 60 years ago, you know, so you're absolutely correct. And that's why I love what you do, and I love what you teach, and I love the shifting of the focus from, you know, the child-centered approach,
mm-hmm.
and looking at the parents, like, but is the parent okay? And you being yourself being a parent, And not only are you a parent of children with special abilities, but they're also Black and brown, right? Mm-hmm. You have another layer. So you offer to me what I see is just so much opportunity for us to learn things a new way, a different way. And like you said, to adjust, like to learn how to connect with other people. And that's why I say special abilities as well, because I feel like anyone that I've ever met, you know, like they're amazing people. Even when I first met your son, we always laugh about this. So me and him met at a job that I worked at, and I was working there full time, and her son would go to the after school program. So sometimes we'd be waiting for her to pick him up, and they would need someone to sit in the conference room with him. So for me, it was like, yes, of course I'll go sit with him. I don't want to talk to nobody else. Like, he was fun. You know, we would sit and we would color. He was like, you're doing it wrong. Or she laughed at me, because I think you walked in that time where he was like, he thought I was pregnant. I'm like, I'm definitely not pregnant. And you thought I felt so offended. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I know how he is. So honestly, to me, this shit is humorous, because he was so good with me. He would just sit there with me still. Like, it was no big deal. Super well behaved, you know, just like a great kid. Just like, I found him funny. And even, you know, now that I've known you for so long, like, you know, I'll say to you, like, yo, he has a sense of humor. Like, he does stuff on purpose, and he uses like what he knows you think you know about him against your ass just to be funny. Like, he's so funny to me. Like, he just cracks me up all the time.
He's hilarious. he's so hilarious. It's funny because I was actually talking to a parent just this past week, because, you know, like, oftentimes, and I'm sure everybody feels like this, right? That you know, like, you're in the store and your kid sees somebody and they're like, you're fat. Or, you know, like, mom, that person over there, you know, like, has a big belly, or you're missing teeth, or whatever the thing is, right? And so, like, you're like, oh my God, like, don't say that. And you want to, like, immediately shuffle the kid off.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I felt like, as you know, Maxwell will say,
I know.
You know, he says whatever comes to his mind, and no filter, right? Like, no filter. This is the thing. Like, this is kind of like the beauty of autism, right? And I'm not speaking for all individuals with autism. However, I think the majority of individuals with autism will always be honest with you, right? Like, it is what it is. This is what I'm seeing. This is my experience. And they're going to be upfront and they're going to be honest with you. And when you think about it, like, isn't that what we all want, though? Like, we want people to be honest with us, right?
Totally.
And so it's like, so here's the thing. Like, if I am presenting as fat in this individual's mind, right? Maybe that's just a cue to me, right? Again, this is just about me. I can't speak about how other people would feel about that, but maybe that's just a cue to me, like, If there's something that I can do about that, because I know that for some people that's not a possibility, but if there's something I could do about that, and this makes me feel bad, right? Like, I feel that there's some truth about it, because here's the other thing too. And I think this is part of the key. It didn't bother you when he said you're pregnant, because it's like, I know, first of all, I know where he's coming from. I know why he's saying it. I also know it's not true, right? Like, and I don't need to feel bad about my body.
Yeah.
But oftentimes when people hit our little pain points with the truth, then it's like an indication to us that it's like, oh, like, do I believe that about myself? Right? It's an opportunity for us to go inward and begin to examine the beliefs that we have about ourselves, you know?
So deep, and people are not ready for that yet. So let me just rewind a little bit.
Okay.
When you said, do people, you know, don't we want the truth? I mean, at a, you know, common sense level, yeah, But do we live in a culture that values truth? A society, let's say society, because culture is a different thing. Do we live in a society that values truth? No, we don't. No, we don't. We value, I mean, we can go through multiple levels of how we don't, but we don't. And that's why I see children with special abilities as so valuable. Like, I've seen them be more kind than a kid, more understanding, more like, oh my God, like, are you okay? And smiling and waving and like happy, genuinely just like always happy and positive.
Yes.
That's the craziest thing to me. Like, one day it hit me, and here's why it hit me. And I'll give a little backstory real quick. So my oldest brother was in special ed. Now, as his sister, my brother's never been diagnosed with anything other than anger. Like, I know my brother. My brother's extremely intelligent. He has wisdom. He's never been diagnosed with anything. He was a super angry kid. He did learn slower than other kids, but at that time, if he would have been given the opportunity and the resources he needed, he shouldn't have been in special ed with kids who had Down syndrome and autism. He's not any of that, period, right? This is the system we're talking about, because you have normal kids who have behavioral issues. We talk about Black and brown boys who they want to place because they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to support them. So for me, I've always had in my heart, like, you know, I always felt some way about it, because it was like a thing where people, you know, they made fun of him. My mother was actually in special ed too. I think for her situation, it was the same thing. And obviously we live in a school system that makes all people go through one line as if we all have the same type of brain, right? So, you know, just experiencing that, but definitely remember one day it hitting me, where I just was like looking at someone and I'm thinking to myself, like, people who have special abilities are like the nicest, most genuine people you meet, hands down. Like you said, they're honest, they're nice, they're always happy. Like, they're the ideal of how the spirit is supposed to stay and be all the time. Because they don't get tainted, really. They just like happy people. They see things for like the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the things that I've personally always noticed and admired and saw it, knowing that society doesn't see it in that way. You know, we don't have that gaze when we're looking at those type of situations.
Yes.
So there's
exactly.
But that's why I wanted to bring it back, because it totally is down to people's level of truth, right? If you don't have levels of truth, then some kid or someone who, you know what I'm saying, has autism or whatever, says something to you, I mean, it's like you're offended as an adult. Like, you know what I mean? So,
right. But so here's the thing about that, though, because part of the issue is that when you look at individuals, right? So we talk about, so in the special needs world, right? We have this languaging and we talk about things like visible and invisible disabilities, right? And so for the most part, I think most folks that have like a neuro divergent kind of disorder, those are invisible disabilities. And so if somebody presents as quote unquote normal and they say something, people get offended. But if let somebody who is either who they're appearance is somehow deformed, so to speak, or if they're in a wheelchair or something, then we'll cut them more slack, right? But it's, so we don't really honor, like, it's kind of like, because I can't see it, it's hard to really grasp what could possibly be going on. And I'm gonna be like, in full transparency, when my older son was born, he was born a preemie the day I turned 29 weeks is when he was born. And I knew that there were going to be these physical issues that we were going to have to contend with. I didn't think about any of the mental things. I just mostly focused on physical. And he had a shit ton of physical issues that needed to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So my experience with him was from day one, hospitals, specialists, you know, all of these like emergency things, these dire kind of the experiences. I mean, like on the verge of death a lot, like a very traumatizing experience. And then to have Max, who was, for all intents and purposes, he was born full term. He was seemingly fine. And then all of a sudden, there was this switch. And I knew something wasn't quite right, but I didn't have anything to compare it to. And so it was very difficult for me to really grasp how his brain worked because I couldn't see it.
Got it.
Right? With Alex, like, hey, your spine is curved. I can totally see the curvature in your spine, yeah. Right? Like, I can see that you can't breathe. I can see that you're struggling to breathe. Mm-hmm. I can totally, totally work with that. But with Max, I'm like, bro, I'm not even sure, like, what we're doing here, you know? And so, like, I really struggled for a very long time. And I mean, fortunately for me, you know, going to school and doing research and studying. And here's the thing, I did a lot of research with my first, but with Max, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm just not going to put all that. I'm just going to figure him out as we go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that is part of the reason why we have so much, there's so much of a disconnect out in the community. When it comes to people.
I mean, that's a valid point. And I mean, again, that goes back to living in a culture that is off of appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And what's seemingly acceptable, what's not acceptable. And I think conversations like this, we have to shatter that paradigm because it's so silly and it creates a lack of progress. You and
Absolutely.
I both know, having worked in the field or even just witnessing it, you know, of the special needs community, of special abilities, there's no marker of what success is, right?
Absolutely.
Even with autism, you know, where they're like, oh, we have studies where we now know and like whatever. It's all very fuzzy and there's so many other, presumed reasons why, you know, the spike of autism and where it stems from, all these different conversations. But in the back office of the organizations that are serving these communities, there's no marker that says, oh, we've progressed. I mean, in their businesses, right? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
that tells me at a greater level that we don't know what we're doing. Because
right.
in order to, you know, when you know what you're doing, you have to have a level of, okay, seeing the progress of the parent being able to support that child more, or giving them supportive services so as parents they can, like what you do, take more time to focus on themselves and caring for themselves so that they can understand their child, so that they can understand how they need to serve their child. And here's the thing, this is across the board. All parents need to do this. Like we talked about this yesterday with like homeschooling. Like I have to figure out, how do I teach each child individually? It's not just, oh, let's sit down and let's do, you know, this. It doesn't, for each one, it's just, you can see that they don't thrive in that and what environments they don't thrive in.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
All parents, like having the opportunity to just learn their child is just a new discussion we have to have, and refocusing. I mean, I love what you teach because all parents, men and women, have to redefine themselves once they become parents, because you are an individual, and we both resonated with this, where as an individual, you lose yourself
mm-hmm.
being mom. You forget yes. that you matter. You forget that you have needs, especially, you know, with children who you might have to be in the hospital with all the time, or like they have like physical things where you're like, my life is literally based around what's happening with them. you know? So I admire you at like the deepest level, and the fact that you're literally taking your story and making it, you know, it's your paycheck, you know, it's the way, because we need these conversations. We need your expertise and your point of view, because you see it all. And not only do you see it all, like, you've been at each stage. Like, we've talked about the reality of like your voice and telling women, you know what, I gave birth, and you talked about it already, shame. Having a child with special abilities. Somebody needs to hear that so that they can release their shame. Somebody needs to hear that when you gave birth, you didn't have an overjoying feeling of being a mom, and neither did I.
Right.
It was not like, oh my God, like, no, it was not. There was nothing there. It was nothing. Can we talk about that though? Like, can you get into this?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure, we need to get into this. I think again, right? Like, social conditioning. This is really what it is for me. We're gonna rock the fucking boat on this social conditioning, because I'm like done. Yeah. Right. I don't fit into any of that shit.
Right.
None of it. Right. Like, there is nothing about me that fits in that. Yeah. And so when I see moms, like, there's so many layers to this, but like, when I used to see moms, so just in terms of backstory. So Alex was born at 29 weeks. He was in the ICU, or the NICU rather, for the first 4 months? Maybe not 4 months. He was there until September. So he was born in July. He was there until September. He had a couple of surgeries prior to being transferred to a rehab hospital. And he was in the rehab hospital for 14 months. So he was there. Or maybe it was a year. He was there for a year. So I brought him home at 14 months. We were able to bring him home on weekends. Like, once he got to a point, like, it's crazy. They gave us permission to take him home on the weekends once he got to a certain level of stability at the hospital. And so we would take him home, you know, from time to time. And this is a kid that had a feeding tube. He had oxygen. He had a heart monitor. Like, all of these things that this individual needed just to survive, right? First kid out the gate. I'm like, bro, this is my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, the questions were, well, mom, did you take your prenatal vitamins? Did you do prenatal care? Did you drink? Did you smoke? Did you do drugs? And it's like, I did all the things that I was supposed to do. And I mean, including wanting to have like the best experience. So I went to a doula before I transferred to a hospital, you know? And the funny thing is I transferred to a hospital because the last time I went to the doula, she measured my stomach and she gasped when she measured my stomach. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. I was like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Not at all. You know? So I ended up 4 weeks after that appointment is when I had him. And she gasped because my belly was too big, because there was too much amniotic fluid in that sac. So he was surrounded by more amniotic fluid than he was supposed to, which is a sign of one of the syndromes that he has, which at the time they didn't even have tests for. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But there's how do I not feel like I did something wrong? Like, maybe if I would have gone to the hospital, and like, if I would have been in a regular clinic instead of trying to do things this way, maybe we would have figured out something sooner. I know now, right? Like, no, that's not the way that works. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that if he would have been born full term, he would have had more problems. Mm-hmm. So it was a blessing that he was born as early as he was born. Mm-hmm. You know, but like, there's just so much conditioning to, oh, And even I do it, like somebody's pregnant. Oh my God, it's such a blessing. It's a beautiful thing, right? Like I'm so happy, but that wasn't my experience, right? Like my mom wasn't around. I was thinking about this the other day. Like it was a very isolating experience for me. I was around my god sister and her family, which, you know, like they're very loving of me, but it's still, it's not my mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My mom wasn't around. I wasn't around any of my family. And it wasn't this joyous occasion across the board.
Yeah.
Across the board, it wasn't joyous. And then it was like automatically traumatic from the day he was born. It was traumatic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's one of those things where it's just like, not everybody's experience around motherhood is this like beautiful, overjoyous, loving, accepting, like we're so happy, like where you get kind of like enveloped in this cocoon of people that are supporting you. Like that's not everybody's experience.
Yeah. And that is so deep. And I think it is a conversation that has to happen for a lot mm-hmm. of healing levels, because just like anything else, you know what I'm saying? When you experience something traumatic, everything doesn't have to be, there's different levels of trauma and things that create memories in the mind. And like I said, even amongst women who may not have had a child with special abilities, I have a great friend who gave birth to her child on the floor and lost her baby in an emergency room. You know what I'm saying? So
there's
all these levels of trauma that happens to the mom. But that's why I love what you do. And I keep, you know, I'm just like, the people need you, because we need conversations around this. It's traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's traumatic. I learned, let me tell you something, this is so sidebar, but talk about like traumatic and like motherhood, and like you just don't know the stories. I mean, even just the women who die in giving birth, you know, there's so many different levels. But I learned from my second doctor, who I ended up going to after once I had my second child. I switched doctors. I didn't like the guy as much. I had transferred to the upstate New York area, and I had this Asian guy first, and I'm not going to say his name out loud. I'm sure there's some people that know him. And then I switched to a different guy because I actually liked their office. Their office was very luxurious, and I'm like, that's where I need to be if I'm giving birth to somebody, child. I need to have waterfalls like in a waiting room, because it's okay. And I didn't know until my second doctor that I wasn't supposed to be checked. Like my down there area, I wasn't checked as much.
Mm.
So I kind of just said to him, like, why don't you check me as much? And he's looking at me like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh yeah, like this doctor used to check me every single visit. He even checked my nipples and told me I had beautiful nipples for breastfeeding.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, and I have witnesses, okay? Because the child's father was there, and we both looked at each other like, is he crazy? He ended up actually leaving the room, but I mean, that was traumatizing.
For sure.
You tell me like, what? You know, so it's like, and not only that, it wasn't a pleasant experience, you know, and that's just levels of that. And I'm not going to hold you. I felt bad about that. I felt bad mm-hmm. about not being happy that I had just given birth to a child. Like I wasn't overjoyed, you know?
Right.
I totally know that what you're teaching, what we talk about, it's so necessary, because there's so many layers, like you talked about, social conditioning, our own points of view, cultural points of view. And me and you talked about this, where it's like, you know, in our, you know, in Black and brown culture, you know what I'm saying, it's like, choose violence, you know? No, they ain't listening to you. Like, did you did you whack them yet? Did you pop them yet? You know? And it's like, listen, that's not always the method. And not for nothing, you know, you and me both were saying, we were talking about this yesterday, like how we as adults have a challenging time with emotions. So how are we giving kids these high expectations of they should know, and they should react this way, and they should this, and they should that? Like, should is just such a horrible word, you know? It's like really giving them that grace, going back to your beginning point, which is they are our teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are teaching us different things, and they are helping us to expand. Each one of my children has represented a part of little Ebony at some point that needs to heal. Like Zoe, my 5-year-old self, that I hated myself when I was tiny that age. So she's shown me different things like that. Layla is like my semi-teen self, like early teen, you know. Emmy's like my full-blown teenage self, you know. And then I don't know what Levi is yet, but you know, he's just my elevated now self, the adult.
He's
self.
Your free that's child. He's your style. Free he's child.
That's life. Okay. He's like, I came here to club. I need him. So I love what you do because it's so necessary in keeping the conversation about parenting elevated and shifting so that we can continue to focus on ourselves. And like you said, like, mm-hmm. Oh, if you're offended by my child's truth, like, do you don't love yourself? Like, where are your beliefs at? You know, so there's just mm-hmm. so many layers to this conversation. It's always so good. I feel like we could talk forever about
all day. So we could talk all day.
Y'all, I texted her the other day because my child had snuck the iPad in the middle of the night to play her game because she was bored, you know, woke up to go pee and was bored, you know. And I text you like, okay, how do I deal with this? So I really, really know and trust that everything that is on the way to you, you know, you're going to be able to see more and more how much this conversation is needed, because any parent, just because we're parents, doesn't make us an expert. I'm just because I talk what I talk, like I said in the beginning, doesn't make me an expert. So I need people like you. I'm like, oh, you know how to do this. Okay, what should I think? What's the thought process behind this, you know? And you shared a video recently where you were sharing you just having a day and how you mm-hmm. framed that day, which is the best way, you know, to elevate and to heal and to take wisdom from what we are learning from being parents. Like,
yeah,
this is part of these little lessons here, you know, big lessons. So I have so much great stuff to take away, and I want to share with people the new things you have happening.
Okay.
How they can get in touch with you, what you're doing. Just share with the people, what are you doing? How can they work with you? How can they connect with you? Because I know we need you. We need you so much.
Listen, I need me. I'm just, you know, that's the truth.
That's number one.
Right? I need me. You know. So first and foremost, people can get in touch with me on through Instagram. It's Divinely Guided Coaching on Instagram. And my website is divinelyguidedcoaching.com. And a podcast is on its way called Mina's Musings, unless between today and when it launches, I decide to change the name. because I reserve the right to change my mind at any given time. That's it. But I also, you know, the way that I work with the parents that I work with, and I mostly work with women, but I do work with some men, but I work on self-discovery and like really looking at the things that we believe and whether or not the beliefs are our own or whether or not we've gotten them from somewhere else, right? And so, you know, I have a 4-week program called the I Method, where we kind of like dive into the ways in which we kind of like inhibit ourselves just with conditioning. So you can DM me on Instagram. You can book a free consultation with me. I'm pretty sure it's on my link tree, or you can hit up my website and book a free consultation with me.
Yes, definitely tap in. Because like I said, I know for a fact, all parents across the board are definitely finding it challenging. And at the end of the day, it's all about perspective. So I know for a fact that you are already successful, but I really pray that everyone listening to this episode, you really have something to take away, something to reconsider, even how you may be looking at the special abilities community, because I do think we are coming to a space and time where things have to change. Things have to change in order for them to be able to expand. It's just like anything else. And we're heading into the fall weather. It's like things have to change for expansion. So I feel like that's why you and I can talk forever about this, or just, I mean, whether it's parenting, whether it's special abilities, whether it's the conditioning, and really what you said, which I know is going to hit a lot of people, because I felt that and I didn't think about it because I don't think like that. And I don't have that experience, but knowing that there are a lot of people out there that are ashamed to have children with special abilities and what that means to them as a parent, especially when you get the questions of, well, what did you do? And did you do,
yes.
And did you do that? And, or even just feeling that yourself before people even ask you that, do you know what I'm saying? So I just commend you for even amongst, you know, being a co-parent and raising two children, real quick, as we close this out, because I need y'all to understand how amazing this queen is and the need for you to get in contact with her, even just to soften your vision around how you're experiencing being a mom and how you can look at that perspective differently so you can actually find the joy and laugh sometimes at the things your kids do and not always feel so was activated. But, you know, closing this out, you know, I really admire that, you know, you went to school, you got your master's degree amongst raising children as a co-parent, and just choosing to continue to elevate, and not only to continue to elevate, but to listen to your calling and teach people what you've gained from your parenting experience, which is totally so needed for everybody, because you ask really great questions that I feel like we ask ourselves when we're healing and learning ourselves without children involved. But just to also apply that to raising children helps us to definitely soften our gaze, because as parents, we all know, like, your eye be twitching sometimes, right? My eye was twitching last week. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, right. We gotta bring this back, bring it back, you know. And there's always lessons. I mean, I find lessons every week, every other day of something that I need to learn. And more than anything, patience. You know, patience at its utmost, highest freaking level. I know that's one of my biggest lessons, and lessons for everybody, just for really patience and learning how to communicate with people. And I think lastly, the thing that I admire that you speak about that I totally agree with when we talk about learning from kids is like, they're so intelligent, actually, extremely intelligent. And when we give them that opportunity to be expressive, like, okay, Max has autism, but Max be knowing, Max be onto some spiritual stuff that regular people don't be on, you know, quotes around it.
Right, know? Right.
You know, you are creating so many new avenues, and as you continue to grow, as your children continue to grow, and as you continue to share your methods and how you think through parenting with special ability children or not, because legit I believe in everything you teach is for all.
It is parenting,
you know, parenting is always just going to be just parenting regardless of the child, and learning as a parent to respect them as individuals. I just thank you so much for persevering and for coming out on the other end smiling even if we're kicking fights, okay? You still smile, okay? And
yes, ma'am,
it's a blessing to know you, it's a blessing to see you evolve, and just to share the things, the wealth of wisdom you have when it comes to divinely guided parenting and really allowing parents to step into that divinity and still love their children and find the experience joyful along
the way.
So I thank you so much. Y'all definitely check her out. Definitely book your session. Get into the AHH method, the 4-week program, to help you breathe a little bit easier as a parent. I honor you. I cherish you. And I honor all of you for tapping into this podcast. If you have learned anything, definitely make sure you leave a review. Head over to her page, follow her page. Don't be stingy. Share this with a friend, okay? It is not abundant to keep good things to yourself, okay? This is why we share all the good wealth with you all, to all of our listeners. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Okay.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for this soul conversation. I really appreciated it. I feel excited to see my children today. And I just thank you. I thank you for being you and being true and authentic to your journey so that you can teach from an authentic place, because that's how we become, you know, amazing experts. Okay. So thank you so much. You guys, again, remember to like, share, subscribe, and keep tapping in, because we definitely have more great episodes on the way. Thank you all, and have a blessed and amazing and wonderful day.
That sums up this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that this episode has delivered clarity and some. If you loved it, share it with a friend, because sharing is not only caring, it is a sign of abundance. If you're an avid listener, leave a review so I know how I'm doing. And continue to heal into your best version, overcoming all of life's challenges with ease and grace, because you can. And come back when new episodes drop with your pen, your notebook, water, juice, or wine, and be prepared for more soul healing conversations. Be blessed, because you are so worthy of living a life that you love.